Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oh, my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we want the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, the understanding, Father, of the depth of this, your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pardon me. This rainy weather messes with my sinus. Bad. All right. Going to be speaking with you this evening from Galatians chapter 1. We had started through this Sunday evening, but we only got through the first 5 verses. Maybe I'll get to do it. We'll see. That's worse it's been in a long time. Where I can't even get it clear. Pardon me, everyone. All right. So we're going to be actually picking up here with verse 6. I'm going to read to you through from 6 through 10. Maybe. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. All right. Let's back up here now and get into the depth of this writing that Paul has done here to the Galatian church. We know from this and a few other places in the scripture that the early churches was having some problems. We know where most of those problems came from. And they was coming from Paul's own people. As the scripture calls them, Judaizers. And what they were doing, they were following Paul from place to place, church to church, and going in and adding to what he had spoke, but the things they were saying and doing would have brought the church back under the law instead of being under grace. Because they was telling them that they could live by part of what Paul said, but they needed to be circumcised also. Well, we're told in the scripture that if you obey one thing of the law for a religious reason, you had to keep the whole law. Well, if they couldn't keep it, there ain't no way we could. And we're not even supposed to. Because you and I, in this day and time, we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us that are called to preach and teach this word, we cannot teach anything other than what he's written. Because if we do, and we preach contrary to his word, just as it tells us there in verse 8, that says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. Accursed. So you see, it's no small matter of what we teach in the churches today. We are to teach and to stand on his word. Nothing else. Now we know that Paul actually is the author of most of the books of the New Testament. In fact, 13 of them. That he wrote himself. And he's letting us know that no matter who we are or who we think we are, he says even an angel of heaven come preaching any other word than the gospel that we have here in the Holy Bible, that we are accursed. Well, I can't speak for nobody but me. And I sure don't want that happening to me. I don't want to stand to be accursed. I have enough problems of my own that I make my own self. Now, he didn't say it just once, but he told us that twice. When you see something wrote twice, and especially within the same chapter, you better pay attention to it. Right here in verse 9, As we said before, so say I now again. He's letting us know. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So we better be paying attention. And a lot of them ain't paying attention to that today, because they are preaching man-made doctrines instead of preaching the word of Almighty God. Now here in verse 10, Paul says, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He's letting all of us that has been called of God to preach his word, that we're not here to please men. We're here to give them the word, the gospel, and we're here to give it to them as it is written by God Almighty. You say, well, no, God didn't write it. Paul wrote it. Paul wrote it because it was given to him word for word by the Holy Spirit. He just recorded what the Spirit of God was telling him to write. Now, come on down here now to verse 11. He said, but I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. He's letting you and I know. This gospel is not after mankind. It's not what man thinks or what man believes. It is what God has given to him through the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to tell us that himself. He says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is the way we are to get our messages today. We are to get our messages today by the Holy Spirit. And we are to be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way we have of making heaven our home. Now we can think otherwise. And we can live other ways because it is our choice. God gives us a choice. We are not robots. And he's not going to make you and I do anything. Because you see, when he created man, he gave man dominion over this earth and over everything in it. And he gave us a choice. But he does let you and I know what will happen when we don't follow his word. When we go to preaching other things and bringing self into it and leaving him out of it, then we all know. Especially anybody that's been to church at any time knows that when we are against the word of Almighty God, we're going to split hell wide open. But there's a lot of things that is being taught that sounds like it is the word of God. And they'll be using the name of Jesus even in their messages, to make it seem like it is coming from the Lord God, but when most of it has been made up by mankind instead of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's why we are told in so many places that you and I cannot live without sin in our lives. That's why we're told that there's none perfect, no, not one. And you see, you find these things in the scripture. The only thing is, they take it out of context to make it say what they want it to say, instead of keeping it in the context and giving you the rest of it. And that's what we need, is the rest of it to go with things that are being taught. That's why I try to let everyone know, when you come to church here, bring your Bible. Follow me to see what I'm giving you is the Word. It comes right out of the Bible. I'm not going to twist and turn it to make it say what I want it to say. I'm going to give it to you as it is written. Now, verse 12, he said, I neither received it of mankind, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Well, we all know from the reading of the Bible that Paul was not a good man. In fact, he was far from it, just as a lot of us are. I was not a good man. In fact, as you read the Word of God, you'll find that really God didn't call a good one. Look at your disciples, the 12. Jesus handpicked himself. Matthew was a tax collector. Well, we all know what to think about them. Luke was a physician. Most of the rest of them were fishermen, which in that day and time was actually a low class of people. And you see, here Paul himself was a man that was bringing those that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and followed him back to imprison and to be killed. He was standing when they stoned Stephen to death, one of the first men recorded that was a deacon of the church. That was Stephen. And he was standing and giving his voice for Stephen's death, and they even laid Stephen's clothing at his feet. So no, he was not a good man. But he's letting them know that here too. He's not hiding anything. He's brought it all out in the open. He told them that he persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. You see, that's what the law mainly was about. Of course, the law is what brought sin to the knowledge of mankind, because until the law was given to Moses, man didn't know what he should do and shouldn't do, really. He didn't know what all was sin. Although he was actually living a whole lot of them, but he didn't know that it was against God Almighty. And that's why God gave mankind the law, was to let them know what was right and wrong. But you see, even with that, they were still on their own. They didn't have what you and I have today. If we are members of the family of Almighty God, we have something that mankind didn't have before the church age. They didn't have that infilling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit to teach them and to guide them in their life as they lived it. But you and I do. You see, we have the power of Almighty God within us. And we stand today, really, without any excuse whatsoever of what God is wanting of us. Those of us that don't really know, it's because we're not getting into the Word of God. We're not attending churches that will teach us the right way. And we are standing on our own, just as they did. And we are standing without any excuse whatsoever. Think about that. We don't have an excuse. It is all in God's Word. Everything you and I need in this life to make heaven our home is in this book that we call the Holy Bible. It's all there. Now, you might have a little trouble finding it until you've read it, read it, reread it, read it, until you've got it in your heart and your mind, and as the scripture says, until it's burned there. You might have trouble finding it, but you can find the answer to any problem that comes into your life in God's Word. Oh, no. No, Pastor, my church don't teach that. Well, then you better find you another church. Now, Verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You see, we live by grace. We don't live by the law. Christ's death and his resurrection fulfilled the law. We are under the church age. And we are under grace. And grace is a gift of Almighty God. We can't buy it. We can't work for it. It's a gift. Yeah, but you know, you teach us that we're supposed to have works. That's right. But we don't do those works to give us salvation or to give us eternal life. We do those works because we have that. That's why we get out and do it. We do it because we have grace. I have my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have my love for the Father and for the Holy Spirit. So therefore, I want to do what he wants of me, and he has a plan for my life, and that's what I want. And I want that above anything else. And we are to put the Lord above everything. Our family, our wives, our husbands, our work. He comes first. and then our families, and then our work. A lot of us put our work first, don't we? And yet it's not to be. Actually, it's third on the list. Think about it. I've been down that road. I know exactly. And I also know that it don't really work. I know things had to change in my life before I could become what I am today. It all had to change. You know, I had going for me what most of my friends and my family would have gave their eye teeth for. A business, good going. A great business. Not owing any man anything. Having whatever I needed or wanted. And I let that get in the way of what God was asking of me. And you know what he done? He told me to give it away. And I did. I gave it away. I didn't sell it. I gave it away because I was to turn it loose then. To have sold it could have taken months. But God said, it's got to go now. And I got rid of it. And I gave it to one that kept it a week and he sold it. You see, I have lived a lot of this word in my lifetime. I'm not a young man. But I didn't learn things overnight either. It took me a while to really learn what this word was really all about and what it would take to keep it and to find out what God wanted of me and then start doing what God would ask of me. And he's always took care of me since. Does it mean that I don't never have troubles? No. Because we'll all have problems. Because Satan is after you and I. He's already got the rest of them. It's those that are following Jesus that he's after. We're the ones he wants to torment and get away and pull away from the Lord. Think about it. Just stop and think for a moment about it. And the very moment that you will really and truly accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and that you really give him your life, one of the first things you will face will be Satan or his demons. But you're going to face them because you become one he wants. Now, verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul letting them know. See, immediately I didn't get out here with these men. And that's as I've told you. I did not go to seminary to learn to preach the word of Almighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, along with this word of Almighty God written in this Holy Bible, was my teacher. Now, Paul goes on telling us here now, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He didn't go to the apostles immediately. And when we read the New Testament and about Paul's life, we know that was so. He went off by himself. Just him and the Lord Jesus. Because you see, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Then after 3 years, See, Paul's telling us, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. This was 3 years later. After he had went into Arabia and Damascus. We don't know how long he was there. But it was 3 years after that that he went up to see Peter. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. He saw Peter and James, Jesus' brother, James. 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. He said, I'm not lying to you about anything. And he goes on here in 21, he says, afterwards, I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. He was not even known by a lot of the churches as far as seeing him. And yet, God, when he called him into the ministry, called him to be the apostles to the Gentile people, to these churches that had not never seen him. That's what he was called for. And that's just the way the Lord works with all of us. You know, when God will call you to preach, and when you are walking with him, and you're listening to him, until he comes to you and leads you, you'll never know what he's going to do with you. He kept me 3 years as an evangelist, going from place to place, working with a lot of the churches out there. Because, you see, he was also educating me, letting me know which ones were actually teaching his words and which ones wasn't. And then me, a white man, placed me into three black churches. I was the only white man in these churches. And he led me then into teaching things that I had been told all of my life did not exist anymore, that it all died when the apostles died. He can shake you up pretty good. But if you will listen to him and follow him, everything will work out just as it should. He had me to build a church in a community that didn't have a church, a community of 100 homes. There were some churches around not too far away, but there was none in that community. Had me knocking on every door while I was building the church, letting them know that I was building it and that it was going to be open soon. And they was all telling me the same thing in that community, how they belonged to another church, and it met real early of the morning. And I wound up as a babysitter for a few months. Not one adult, but I had a church full of kids, youngsters. Until the youngsters got going home, asking mom and dad questions they couldn't answer. And they finally then started coming in, bringing their kids and coming. I wound up letting, when God got ready to move me, he had me leave that church with another group. That church is still in existence today, as far as I know. Because if it ever gets to the point to where they're not using it as a church, it's mine. It's to be back to me. That's the way it was made. I had let them have it to use as a church. But if it ever quit being used as a church, it was to come back to me. And that church is right outside of Newport Richey, Florida. And the last time I was there a couple of years back, the church was still in operation. But you know, we are now living in a day and time that really it don't pay for you and I to be wishy-washy about the Word of God. We better start living it as it says and not as man says, or we're not going to make heaven our home. And it's not going to be too long until the Lord's coming back for his church. We may see it. We may not, but we might see it, because there is nothing left that has to be done before the Lord could come back. No prophecy left to be fulfilled before the Lord could come back. This is how close we are. And we do know we are starting into the days of trouble. In fact, we've been into those days now for over a year. Bad trouble. We've been into them for the last 10 to 15 years. But getting into real trouble in the last couple of years. And they're just going to continue to get worse. If the churches don't come together and stand in unity as one, and that one being his church, and help to bring our nation to repentance so God can heal it, we're going to lose our nation. That'll be the next thing lost if we don't get out and get to work and get this gospel spread and all stand together to stop what is going on. All right. These next two verses, and we're going to be closing for the night. Verse 23-24 will bring us to the end of chapter 1. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Now Paul's talking here about himself and about the church. But they, the church, had heard only that he, Paul, which persecuted us, which that's the way he was living before he met Jesus, in times past, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And we all know, in following his life, and how he met Jesus, and how he began to live afterwards, we know that what is written here is truth. And here with this very short verse, we'll close out. And they glorified God in me. Paul saying, they glorified God in me. And that's what we all need and need to look forward to. It's when they see you and I that they can see the Lord Jesus Christ through us and in our lives and see his goodness, to see his love, and to see that man can live by his word. That means that you and I are really a living witness and example of the word of God. And that's the way we are to live our lives. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to go forth to keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for those that are of the chosen people of God to receive and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this nation of ours, Father, a nation that has turned its back and walked so far away without any excuse whatsoever, no reason at all to walk away from you. But it has taken the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in, not even wanting him used in our prayers. You see, Father, this is where Satan came in, not wanting us to pray in Jesus' name. When your word tells us how to pray, your word tells us to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and that you would hear from heaven. And if we knew that you heard from heaven, that you would grant our wishes. And that's what Satan has been taking away from those that will listen to his deceiving voice and follow the ways of man instead of following you, Father. Now, Father, for our prayer list tonight, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to fulfill whatever need they have. And Father, we stand tonight banding all sickness, all disease from them. We're commanding that sickness and disease to leave. And those demons that are there tempting and deceiving to leave in Jesus' name. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. Fill these churches, Father, with thy Holy Spirit and these pastors, Father, so that they can lead these churches along the pathway of righteousness. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, we lift them up. You know what the need is there. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but Father, we pray for it to become a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. We ask, Father, that you keep one there filled with the Holy Spirit to see that the message that comes from that place, Father, is according to your word, your will, and your way. Now, Father, for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. They walk in lands with the gospel, Father, that in places, if they are caught, will mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, for my family, for each family, Father, that will hear this message tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within these families. Work with those that are walking in darkness. Help to bring them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all would be able to make a way to spend their life throughout eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo, for Sue and David, for Jim, for Dennis and for myself, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen. Father, we all stand in need of thy hand upon our lives. And most are standing, Father, in need of thy healing power. And we're telling Satan to depart, take his sickness and his disease with him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Remember now, God willing, we can all be together again come Sunday morning. Now, Sunday morning, God willing, we're planning on having a round robin here. You're going to hear three men bring that message Sunday morning. So until then, walk with God. He will walk with you. Good night, all.